Ezekiel chapter 47. And then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. And the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And he brought me out by way of the north gate, and he led me round on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the water, and the water came up to my ankles. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and the water came up to my knees. And again he measured 1,000 and he brought me through, and the water came up to my waist. And again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Spirit. God, minister to us today and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right now and say, may God bless you today. In the writing of the book of Ezekiel, the 47th chapter, the prophet gets a vision. What he sees is he sees a river that's running out from under the altar, out of the temple, over the threshold, and begins to start as just a small stream, but begins to expand, and then begins to move very fastly. And I believe what he was seeing was the outpouring of the Spirit of God into this earth in the New Testament church. It started as a small trickle, but it began to expand till it covered the entire world. And today we live in the blessed power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Could you say amen? Somebody said, well, preacher, is this a Pentecostal message? It's Pentecost Sunday. Hello? You say, well, I'm not Pentecostal. Well, you ought to try it. It's not bad. I wasn't Pentecostal the first part of my life. Got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not Pentecostal because I was raised Church of God. I was raised by a backslid Methodist preacher. I got Pentecostal because I got hungry for God. God filled me with His Spirit. And I'll be honest with you, church, I've had people say, oh, you got to have the Holy Ghost to get to heaven. No, but I would hate to know I was trying to get there without the help. Glory. Amen. It's just something about that anointing that helps me to make it through the day. Amen. And you know, I had a guy tell me actually one day that Pentecostals invented the Holy Ghost. I said, sir, have you ever read your Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness descended upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, the Bible said, moved upon the waters. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? All of a sudden, the breath of God. That's what the Bible said. Amen. It's the Yurok of God, the breath of God. According to some writers, it's kind of like a howling hurricane. The breath of God shot across this earth, and everything it touched, life started teeming into it. Isn't that amazing? Amen. And then one day God gets through and he says, everything's great. And he said, I believe I'll make man in my own image. And he gets down, make a little mud man. Forms him some little mud legs, little mud arms. He gets him all framed out like he wants him. And then what did he do to him? He breathed on him. Amen. And when he breathed on him, that breath, that same breath put life in this world, put life in that body. And sinewy muscle began to attach to bone. And next thing you know, blood vessels started forming and blood come in and hearts and kidneys and lungs started forming and skin came over it all. And man stood up, started naming animals. Glory. Hello? Somebody said, well, preacher, where are you getting at? You ever had somebody that really, you know, ignorance is bliss to some folks. We got some folks in this world real happy. I had a guy come up to me one day, and I was talking to him, and he said, well, brother, you know this. He said, you know, man is wonderful, but you know, the oldest profession, he's talking about some woman, she's in the oldest profession. I said, you mean she's a zookeeper? Oh, no, y'all look at me like that. Adam was naming animals and keeping animals before Eve ever got on the world. So don't be talking to me about the oldest profession if you don't know what you're talking about. Glory. Hello? We get some common sayings don't make no sense when you look at historical fact. Amen. You know, and all of a sudden God goes over and creates woman, starts making the world. World's running good. Now, church, the Spirit of God didn't stop there. You read your Bible, you're going to find out there was a guy in the Old Testament named Bezalel who the Bible said he was moved on by the Spirit with a spirit of knowledge and wisdom and all manner of workmanship. Amen. That church, I don't know about y'all, but that's the kind of spirit I got. It helps me with knowledge, it gives me wisdom, and it helps me work for him. Amen. Hallelujah. It's one of our black brothers. As a matter of fact, Brother Sibley is one of our executive committee members now, preaching at camp meeting, preached the whole message one night on the unction to function. Amen. That Spirit of God gives you that unction to do things for God and moves you to do something for him. Could you say amen? Glory. Amen. And then you go on down a little farther, you're going to find Moses having a problem with his church. It needed an anointing. He gets hold to God and said, God, what ought to do? He said, point you out 70 elders. Bring them under the tabernacle, and I'm going to bless them, and I'm going to let them help you pastor this three million people congregation. Amen. Next thing you know, he's over there under the tabernacle, and the Holy Spirit falls. The Bible says Shekinah glory came on that tabernacle, and them men began to prophesy. Now, church, they didn't all stand up and start talking. According to that word, they started dancing and spinning and twirling. They were shouting. It's what we call it. Amen. They were just having church and throwing down. Amen. Now, church, they were two Church of God fellas in that group. I can't talk about other denominations. I know Church of God people. Amen. Two of them was late. Come on, church, read your Bible. Eldad and Medad didn't make it to the tent before the Shekinah fell, and they started shouting out in the crowd, and everybody come running to Moses and said, Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp like those under the tabernacle. And you know what he said to them? He said, suffer them not for my sake. I would to God everybody in this camp could feel what's falling in that tabernacle right now. And church, let me tell you something. You go on through, the Spirit of God moved on Samson, and he slew the Philistines and tore off the gates of the city. I had a dude one time told me that Samson was strong because he had long hair. That be the case, I'm in trouble. But now, church, the truth of the matter is his long hair was a covenant he had with God. That's why he lost the strength when he had the covenant broken. Hello? That ought to tell you something. I'm not going to preach on that, but I may come back and talk about broken covenants one day. When you have a covenant with God through the word, you break that covenant, God's no longer obligated to bless you. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? God has a free will just like we have a free will. And God's given us the outside chance that we can understand what he says. He said, keep my commandments, love me, I'll bless you. Don't keep my commandments and love me, you're on your own. Hello? Somebody said, now, preacher, God's not like that. That's what his book said. And that's all I can go by. I can't go by theory and, you know, what I think. I got to go by what's in this book. And the book said I got to love him, keep his commandments. Now when I do that, he's going to bless me. Amen. Amen. Then I see David moved on by the Spirit. He's bringing back the Ark of the Covenant. Man, the Holy Ghost gets on him, and he just dances right down the middle of the street. Wife gets upset, looks at him, oh, my God, he's the king acting like everybody else. I got news for you, honey. When the Spirit of God hits you, you ain't going to be acting like you somebody. Amen. Great thing about God is, ain't no big eyes and little U's, we all one trying to get to the same place. And when the anointing falls, it don't care who you are, he'll let you have it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And all of a sudden you got David there, and all during the Old Testament you can see where the Spirit of God moved on Elijah, moved on Elisha. Amen. And guess what? The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that they were waiting on a promise. Amen. And now, church, the day of Pentecost comes, and Jesus told those men, go tarry in the upper room till you shall be endued with power from on high. And what happened? Amen. All of a sudden, they're there together. 500-600 of them up there praising God, worshiping God. But it's like everybody else. They got tired of waiting. Started dwindling off. Next thing you know, they get down to about 120. At one morning, they're there, and they're having church. They're worshiping God. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And the Spirit of God hit that building, and they all started shouting and worshiping God. The Bible said they began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit gave them the utterance. Amen. They went running out of that place out in the street, and everybody in the street was astounded because they heard the language in their own tongue. The message of God was being preached. 3,000 souls came to know Jesus that day. Amen. And God began to move, and it started something there. Can you imagine how the devil felt? He's sitting there, man. He's got his eyes on everything. He thinks everything's going good. He's getting more and more of them to quit and to give up. And about that time, the Holy Ghost hits the place, and instead of 120 people, he sees one entity. Now, it's not 120 individuals. It's a church. It's an anointed entity of God moving out into a lost and dying world. And can I tell you, church, I want to be a part of that group. I don't want to be an entity. I want to be a part of what God's doing in this world through the uniting of the Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost that makes us one body, one mind. Amen. That we move in the presence of his glory. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Ezekiel had a vision of what I'm talking to you about. Amen. Now notice something. That water flowed from Jerusalem down to what we call the Dead Sea. And I'll get into that in a minute. But now, church, when you read what Ezekiel saw in his vision, I want to give you a quick synopsis of what's going on. First of all, he said the water was ankle deep. This is learning to walk in the Spirit. Church, all he's outlined in those four steps is the growth of a Christian in God. People get saved, they got to learn how to walk in God. They got to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, why is that important? Because I find in the book of Galatians, he said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. Well, preacher, why is that important? Listen, he also said, then I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Church, you ever notice if I let Spirit guide me, I don't spend all my time trying to get caught up in things of this world, because if I'm spiritually minded, I'm not earthly good to anything. Come on, church. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? I can reach people. I can minister to people, but I'm not hung up on stuff I'm not supposed to be hung up on. Why? Because the Bible said that Spirit of God will lead, guide, and direct me into all the truth of God. And if I learn how to walk in the Spirit, amen, and how to take the steps God wants me to go. Come on, church, smile at me. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. We learn to let God take us where we need to be. We don't have the trouble of running into brick walls and getting drowned and getting all kind of trouble. If we let God lead us, everything works out. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Had a young man come up to me at camp meeting one year. He said, I'm a preacher just like you. I looked at him and said, well, you ain't got a whole lot of thought about what you want to be, are you? He looked at me and said, what are you talking about? I said, well, if you're a preacher like me, man, you ain't no better than I am. I'd want to be better than me. I do. Hello? He said, I've got the same license you got. I said, oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I said, but that, I'm finna make you mad. And y'all been around me enough, you know I'm real habitful, just tell you what's on my mind. I looked at him sort of funny. I said, son, you're going to understand this one day, and you're going to come back to me, and you're not going to be so mad, but right now you're going to get mad. But I said, you are not, nor will you ever be a preacher like me. What makes you so special? I said, nothing. I said, but I've been here for 20 years. You just got started. There are things I've learned from walking in God that you ain't going to learn because you read some book or you took some test or you went to some seminar. I said, you got to learn it by walking down the road and finding the pitfalls and stumbling over the rocks and getting through the rivers and making it through the fires. And I said, those things I've learned, you've got to come through them too if you're going to get where I am. And I said, let me tell you something, son. Long as I'm walking, you ain't catching me. And I don't intend to wait on you. Come on, church. Amen. You know, a few years ago, he come up to me account meeting. He said, you know, preacher, I realized how dumb I was. I made that statement. I said, it's not a problem. I used to be dumb as you. I thought as soon as I got saved, God called me to preach. I was a preacher like everybody else. But I said, there's some things you can't learn but one way, and that's by serving him and walking with him. And let me tell you something, friend, when you learn to walk in the Spirit, God will take you to a school you've never been to, and you'll learn things you never thought you could learn, and you'll begin to have power with God like you never thought you could have. But you got to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now notice this. He goes on to say that he measured out again, and the water was waist deep. This is learning, or the knee deep rather. This is learning how to pray in the Spirit. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, what is this then? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. Now church, listen, a lot of people learn how to pray. But I got news for you, church. Prayer is hard for me. You ever been around somebody who could just pray? It's almost aggravating for some of us. I mean, there's people that's got a spirit of prayer. They get there, and for an hour and a half, they ain't repeated themselves once. Y'all ever been to prayer meeting, have somebody like that? It's like flowing, like they got a tape recorder on in their brain. It's just flowing out of them. And you're sitting there, and you done said everything you think of 15 times. I was at prayer meeting over in Georgia one time. This fella got down. I was in Waycross, Georgia, and they had a 5:30 prayer meeting. And I remember I got there for that prayer meeting, and I was half asleep. Hello? I'd gone to bed about 3 o'clock in the morning, got up at 5:30, went out to that church to be at that prayer meeting. not because I wanted to, but because it's having it and I need to be there. I was an evangelist. And I got there and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to think. My brain ain't functioning. And about 5-10 minutes into it, you know, I'm having to fight sleep, keep going back to sleep while I'm supposed to be praying. And I got to listen to this guy next to me, and he's over there above me, and he's just got it going. I finally just got up and sat down on the altar, and I was sitting there just pointing at him every once in a while. Pastor said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm just agreeing with him. He's doing a great job." Glory. Amen. I mean, this guy was praying. He was having at it. But now, church, listen, there is a thing called praying in the Spirit. That's when you don't get this. You know, so many of us have got that as I lay me down to sleep mentality. You know, we got to memorize prayers. I mean, we memorize everything we do, and those are fine in some places. But there's got to be a time you learn to communicate with God where you get on your knees and there's something so important to you that it's not something I'm going to get up from in 2 or 3 minutes, but I'm going to stay there till I get into some type of fellowship with God. And church, when you do that, and you learn how to get lost in the Spirit while you're praying. And man, notice this. Amen. The book of Romans talks about the Spirit making intercession for us. Hey, church, when you get lost in the Spirit and God starts praying through you and he starts praying about things. Come on, church. Somebody said, "Preacher, why is that important?" Because God knows stuff I don't know. Hello? So what are you getting at? I don't know what's going to happen in my life tomorrow, but God knows what's going to happen to me tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen. Listen, I'm riding down the road. God knows what's around that curve. Come on, church. I may not know what's around that curve, but God's going to know. And if I'm lost in the Spirit praying, he can pray about what might be fixing to happen. I got no ideas coming. And therefore, God can help me to get some angels released into my life to help me make it. Come on, church. Amen. I remember years ago heading to revival. And y'all got to understand something. I don't break the law, but I bend it. Especially when I'm on time. And I was on time this night. I mean, I didn't have time not to be moving. And I'm headed up a back road in Fayette County. Frida's in the back seat. She's expecting Alicia. Alex is in the little pumpkin seat back there. By the way, don't y'all think that him and Kim ought to be at church next Sunday morning? Folks, for those who don't know it, they're getting married next Saturday, and they probably won't be here next Sunday morning. Matter of fact, I think about giving a Sunday school book, tend to read it on the plane toward the Virgin Islands and just have an outreach. Glory. But he was in the back seat with his mama, and I'm beaming down the back road, and I'm on time, and I'm moving. And let's face it, church, if y'all not familiar with West Alabama, there are little animals that run around. I say little, they deer. They have a bad habit of tearing up cars if they run out in front of them and stuff. And I'm on this back road, and I'm not thinking about deer. I'm thinking about getting to church. And I'm beaming down through there, and all of a sudden he gets out of his seat, crawls up my back on the seat with me in the front seat. He comes over and gets down beside me saying, "I want to see him deer, Daddy. I want to see him deer." Well, because he's grabbing at me, I've got to come off the gas. I'm in the middle of this curve, and all of a sudden I get my foot on the brake and realize there's a whole herd of deer sitting in front of us. He's there beside me, and he looks at me and said, "See that? I told you they was deer." And he just climbs back over the seat, jumped in the seat, looked over mom and said, "Hook me up." And I'm up there going, "My God, God's trying to tell me to slow down, and I got to have a boy jump up here and tell me that they deer in front of me because God done put it in his head because he knew they were there, and I couldn't see them, and I know he couldn't see them, but I had a God that used that young man to keep me from tearing my car up, possibly killing me or my family." Amen. You know why? Because I've been praying in the Spirit and believing God to touch my life. Could you say amen? Now, he measures again, and the water then goes waist deep. That's learning how to be strong in the Lord. Amen. Listen to what Ephesians said. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Can I tell you, church, God is just a little bit ticked at some of us. He made this statement, "You do err, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God." Hello? And so therefore, we're running around reading books about demons, and we're scared to death some demon's going to jump on us. Got to have counseling because some demon bugging me. Church, you find out the word of God, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." And if I learn to live in God and I learn to strengthen myself in his word and to strengthen myself in his Spirit, I won't run around worried about the devil. I want the devil worried about me. Come on, church. I don't know about y'all, but I got a friend wrote a song years ago called Warrior for the Lord. The second verse of that song says, my alarm clock rings and the demons scream, my God, he's up again. I want that to be me. I want demons worried about what I'm going to do when I'm awake instead of me trying to figure out what they're up to. I want demons rocking me to sleep at night instead of trying to keep me awake because they realize as long as I'm asleep, I ain't thinking about something else to do to them. Amen. And you say, preacher, why is that? Because if we do that, we can let them understand God has given us dominion over Alabaster, Alabama, and we're taking that dominion and we're telling them it doesn't matter whether you're a principality or just some of the spiritual wickedness, it's time to go because God's starting to move and we're going to move with God, and in him we're going to live and move and have our being, and by him we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, you better watch it. Them demons going to come to your house. Hey, I got two of them. Give them both my addresses. I'll meet them either one. Because I already got angels around every one of them waiting on them. Hello? Come on, church. Don't look at me like that. Y'all said, man, preacher, you're crazy. No, he's not. My Bible says if you get two people together, they can put 100 to flight, 1,000 to flight. Get four people together, we're going to be running thousands of them off. Amen. You know why? Because every time you get in fellowship with somebody else and y'all get in unity, your angelic host that's around you, that hedge you got around you, then their hedge gets around you too. And the more you get inside that hedge, the more hedges you got outside they got to get through. And if we as a church ever get in one mind, one accord, there'll be a wall around us of angelic power. Amen. And through the power and the anointing of the Spirit, amen, there's not going to be a demon or devil in hell can come against us. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready for it to happen. Could you say amen? I'm ready to see God do something. For that reason, I'm going to get strong in the Lord and I'm going to work for him. Could you say amen? Glory. I'm not preaching last week's sermon. Glory. Somebody said, oh God, he got off on work again. I may have to do a whole sermon on work. Y'all may be by work like Bella was down at Northport Church years ago. I was in the office with the pastor, and his son come in and said, Dad, Brother Hall, are you preaching on tithing this morning? He said, why? He said, well, I'm sitting next to Brother Markham. He squirms when you do that. So I may preach on work, see if some of y'all squirm. Amen. But notice this. He measured again and said the water was too deep to cross. It became water to swim in. This is learning how to follow the Spirit, how to flow with the Spirit. See, church, I don't use the Spirit. I've got to become used of the Spirit. In other words, I'm not in charge. There's got to come a time when I don't go where I want to go and do what I want to do, but my will becomes the will of God because I am willing to say, not my will, but thy will be done. As Jesus prayed in the garden when he could have said, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to get out of here. He could have done that, but he said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And he gave himself over to the plan of God. And every one of us has got to come to that place where it's not my will anymore. I want to lose it in God. I want to work for him. I want to move in him. You say, preacher, is that possible? Yes, it is. Any of y'all ever seen rivers when it's flooding? You ever notice nothing kind of holds it back? Any of y'all ever been in flood water? Believe me, you get in a flooding river running downstream, you going downstream. I did a baptism down in Daleville, Alabama, just the other side of Enterprise. As a young man got saved, we had several saved that week. We were doing baptizing. We borrowed somebody's swimming pool. They didn't have a baptistry, so we went to somebody's swimming pool. We prayed over it, got out there baptizing them people. And Brother Irvy wouldn't let me baptize him. He said, I got to be baptized in running water. And I was young and dumb back in them days, and so we went down to the river, and we found a place where we could baptize him. Nowadays, I'd have got a hose, turned it on, held it overhead, say, here's your running water. Glory. The river in that area was about 4 or 5 foot out of its banks. So we go down there, me and this preacher gets out there walking around, and we finally get in water about this deep, and it's all I can do to lean into that river to keep it from pushing me out into the regular channel of the river. We're on the bank water this deep. And we get out there, and I kind of got in there, and the pastor found a bush he could hook his feet in, and I'm sitting back there, and I planted my feet in the mud, and I took his hand, and I said, come on, Irvy. Now, you're going to understand, Irvy is 6'8". Basketball player that had played at Spring Hill College in Mobile. Now he's a physician assistant in the military. And he comes walking out there and he said, preacher, I love this. This is the way it's supposed to be. I said, Irvy, there's a place for everything. He said, what do you mean? I said, the Bible said, there's a time to live, time to die, time to laugh, time to cry. He said, yeah. I said, there's a time to shout and there's a time to use sense. And I said, while we baptizing you, don't shout. Once I turn loose of you, you can do what you want to. He is not an obedient person. I got up there and said, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when my face got to the water, most of him still wasn't there. I turned and looked at the preacher. I said, I'm going with him. Preacher said, what? I said, the only way I can get him under. I got up, said, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And just as I got him down, his feet come up because he's levitated on mine, the preacher's arm, and I ain't wanting to turn loose. And I hear somebody, and a hand hit me. And my hand come loose from the preacher's. And by the time I came to the top of the water, I'm no longer on the bank. I'm now in the river. And I am swimming with everything I got to go upstream. And suddenly realize I'm going faster and faster downstream. I don't know if y'all understand this, but that is not a good feeling, because I knew less than a half a mile down that river, there's a waterfall. And I'm beaten with everything I got. Finally, I got enough sense to realize if I use this, it will get me to the bank. And I turned and started swimming with the river on an angle and made it to the bank, grabbed a tree limb of a limb that was probably way up that bank normally, pulled myself out and got up on the side of that hill. And all of a sudden, here comes the preacher. Oh, my God, where's Irvy? I said, last time I saw him, he passed me. Now, church, don't feel bad for Irvy. A few minutes, he come walking up the side of the river going, shall we gather at the river? He down to heaven church. I said, you go over the waterfall? He said, yeah. I said, it's deep down there. Glory. Now, those that think I'm lying, Irvy pastors of Troy Church of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But now, church, I learned that day you cannot fight a river that's overflowing. You say, what are you getting at? Notice what this man said. This is a river. A river so deep you can't walk across it, moving so fast you cannot swim against it. That means when you get in the Spirit, what you've got to do is let go and let the Spirit of God take you where He wants you to go. Amen. Let the Spirit of God carry you, wants you. And when you do, He's going to carry you to the highest highs of your relationship and the lowest lows, where you can find somebody that needs to be lifted up and carried back to the mountaintop. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. You say, preacher, you sure? Notice, this river started in Jerusalem. It's on Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount. Now, if you understand what I'm fixing to tell you, Jerusalem is the highest point in the Middle East. That's why every time you read in your Bible, they said, let us go up to Jerusalem. Amen. It's called the City of Seven Hills. There is hills everywhere around there. It is loaded up, and you go up from anywhere around. But if you leave Jerusalem and you go to what is the Dead Sea, down in the area of the West Bank, you will drop almost 3,900 feet in sea level. Amen. And do you know there where the Dead Sea is? It is known to be the lowest point on the face of this earth. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? You go from the highest place of religion in the Middle East to the lowest point on the face of this earth. You're falling 3,900 feet. Now, just to give you an idea, the Ocoee River only falls about 2,800 feet in the 3 miles it, or 5 miles it travels, and you get 2,900 feet a minute, or second rather. Amen. When you're in them boats, now me and my son's been down that river, and you're moving. Hello? Amen. Now, don't look at me like that. I like the whitewater raft. Amen. Ain't nothing like getting out there jumping them rocks and having a big time. Look at me. My wife instigated last time I went. She went. It was her idea. Hello? We didn't get that fast, though, did we, Kim? We went down a smaller river, but down the Ocoee, you get to moving, you know? And I got to think about it. I said, my Lord, we'd be going faster than this. If you're in that water, you're going with it. The point is, once you get in the river, you're no longer in control. Once you get in, you're going to go. Could you say amen? But let me point one other thing out, and I'm going to close. It goes to the lowest point on the face of the earth. How many of you understands this? The people God looks for ain't always going to be the rich folks living in the nice houses and fitting our idea of who we'd like to have in church. Hello? I thank God that He reaches down to people who ain't got nothing. Come on, church. Listen, I was at a revival. And it was on Sunday morning, or on Saturday morning, and for some reason I'd spent the night with a preacher. I don't remember why. But we were sitting there getting ready to eat breakfast the next morning, and the lady come to the door, and it was like 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas. It was one of my last revivals for that year. And she was wanting help for a family. She told the pastor, she said, I live in this area, and that area of town's just a bad area. Ain't nobody there but poor people. They're drug addicts and alcoholics and just, you know, they ain't got a lot. And she said, these poor kids, said the daddy has cirrhosis of the liver and he's dying, the mama's a crackhead, and they don't have any food hardly in the house, and the kids ain't going to get nothing for Christmas. And she said, I'm going to churches to see if we could help them out. And what really made me mad was that pastor bragged to me the day before about the $1,500, $1,600 he kept in his billfold for mad money. Nothing wrong with that, but when that lady said she needed something, he looked at her coldly and said, I'll talk to the benevolence committee at my church and see if they've got anything we can do. And I'm thinking, dude, you could do something. You know, hock that billfold. We'd have a big time with them kids for Christmas. Come on, church. Some of y'all looking like, preacher, what do you think God put you here for? Anyway, I got up, followed the lady out to her car, and I invited her to church. I slipped her what little bit of money I had, said, maybe this will help, and I'll see if I can find you some more money before the week's out. I got a couple other people give her some money before the week was out, but I invited her to church. She said, what time is it? I said, it'll be at 7 o'clock tonight. She said, I'm going to come. I said, bring them kids and bring some of your neighbors. I go back in the house, and the preacher met me at the door. He said, oh, my God, you didn't invite them to church, did you? I said, sure I did. He said, my God, they'll come. I said, I thought that was the point. He said, ain't nothing down there but drug addicts and alcoholics. They come here, my good people will leave. Let me give you an interpretation. They show up, my tie pairs are going, I have to trust God. I got news for you. If a tie pair leaves the church because a sinner showed up, they need to be gone. He said, my God, we'll fill the church up with people like that. I said, you'd have a church then. Glory. He said, I want them kind of people in my church. So I went and started putting my stuff together. He followed me in the bedroom. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going home. He said, why? I said, revival's over. He said, what are you talking about? Revival's over. I said, you didn't want those people in your church because they're poor. They're drug addicts, alcoholics. I said, man, I came from a poor family. I was a drug addict and alcoholic when I got saved. I said, if you don't want them in your church now, you don't want them after God's had something to do with them, so I'll just go. You don't need me here. He looked at me, he said, you leave, you'll never preach another revival in the church of God. I said, if the rest of the church of God believes the way you do, I probably don't care. I got in the car, went home. You know, it's amazing, but I was back at that church about 9 months later because he retired, and I went back and run a revival with a guy I had booked. And you know what? I'll never forget, he told me, he says, hey, you're not like them people anymore. I said, if you'd been pastor at Buell, I would be. Because you would have never reached to me. You would have never cared. Can I tell you, church, the real need of the church today is to understand that Pentecost gives us a heart to a lost and dying world, gives us a heart for those who are where we would be if it were not for the grace of God. And we've got to understand we are not who we are because we are somebody. We're who we are because he is someone, and he came in our life, and he made us who we are and designed us for who we are. And without him, we have nothing and nowhere to lean on. But because of him, we have something in this world, and we have a right then to reach to other people and say, I got a God who in his grace will pick you up from the lowest point of your life and carry you to the mountaintop and give you joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me all over the house? Father in heaven, we thank you today, God, for your word. Master, reach down and touch us with your glory. Touch us with your fire. God, give us a vision of the true Pentecost, and we'll move in your presence, in your power, and in your glory. Father God, let your glory move in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Church, would you just lift up your hand, just reverence his presence that's in this house right now. If you're here this morning, you're not where you need to be with God. Understand, the outpouring of Pentecost 2,000 years ago was just to institutionalize the church with an anointing to reach a lost and dying world. And if we're simply here, you got to know he loves you. And just as he reached to every one of us as individuals wherever we were, raised in church, never been to church, wallowing in the mire of sin, he pulled us out and set us where we are. And he loves you just like he loved me and everybody else in this building. And all he's ever asked is that we just get in the river and flow. Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We thank you for your presence. God, I commend this congregation to you. Every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. 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 One last moment, if you're here, you're not where you need to be with God for whatever reason, would you step out, walk to the front of this building? I've got a God wants to touch you this morning, wants to minister to your life. I want to pray with you, but God wants to wrap his arms around you and let you know he loves you. Hallelujah. 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 Church, how many of you here would say, preacher, I want God to give me a fresh touch of his love, a fresh touch of his fire. I just want God to instill in me a hunger for lost souls. If that's your prayer, I want you to join me in front of the church very quickly. And I want us to pray together for that anointing, for that indwelling of his desire. Somebody said, preacher, that's natural. No, it's not. It is the indwelling of the Spirit that drives us to a lost and dying world. It is the indwelling of the Spirit that leads us to people who need to be saved. Let us let him touch us today. Let him move on us. Father in heaven, we thank you now, God. Lord, for everybody that walks here, let that anointing flow. Let that fire just begin to flow in us today, God. Oh, Lord, renew in us a desire to win the lost. Renew in us a desire to take them by the hand and help them to you. God, let us become the picture of you in the world. People can see your love in us. Holy, holy, holy God. Lord, have your way in Jesus' name. God, we praise you. We magnify you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, reach over. Just lay your hand on the person next to you and pray that God will pour his Spirit into them. Pray that God will give them a renewed desire to see life move through them into others around them. Father, we thank you right now. Lord, as we come to you in prayer, we come believing God for the outpouring of your Spirit today. God, minister to us. Oh, Lord, make us, Lord, to sit in heavenly places with you. Lord, as we come before you today, we do believe in God for the outpouring of your Spirit, your power. Oh, holy God, pour your presence into us. To everyone in this building, let us feel the anointing of your grace. God, as we cry out to you, God, not as just individuals, but as a corporate body, let us feel the love that drives us to a lost and dying world. Our compassion to care for those that are lost, to reach them with your glory. Father God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, let your glory flow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, would you just raise your hands and begin to praise him? The Bible said, my blessings come on the wings of praise. Just begin to magnify him and let him just pour his blessings into you. Let him pour his anointing into you. Hallelujah. Father God, we believe you for that touch. We believe you for that grace. God, through the power of your glory, we believe you to move today. Hallelujah. 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 Let me tell you something, church. Hear me. If this church is going to do the will of God in this world, it's got to be through the anointing of the Spirit and the authority of his word. And if we'll do that, God's going to use us to be a beacon to everybody around here that needs him. And church, all we've got to do is just let God use us to reach people. You don't have to be the greatest witness. You just got to love people. And if you love people, you can change people. Remember, that's what we're after. We want to impact somebody for the kingdom of God, to change them for his glory. Hallelujah. Church, would you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning for his presence, his power? Please. Remember tonight, 6 o'clock, the church worship singing. We're going to worship God, believe God. Hey, invite somebody. If there's a lost person last year singing, let them come hear it. Maybe God will get a hold of them and they'll end up in this altar. I guarantee you, preacher will pray for them just as much when they come up here that way than if it's me getting them up here. Come on, church. Let's believe God for that. Amen.